everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom engineering and producing our program. And together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. And we are off and running on our midweek edition of Buckmaster. And Tom, I looked at that forecast. I couldn't believe it. We're actually going to have normal temperatures for the highs.
Maybe a degree or two above normal, but I think we can live with that.
Yeah, no kidding. After 10 to 15 degrees above normal, so it looks like we might have a normal week. We're in our 11th year here on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Our radio station is 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. The call letters are KVOI, The Voice, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to the Ward 2 Council offices. Democrat Paul Cunningham is with us on the live line. Paul, how are you? And happy birthday. Did you have a nice day yesterday?
I had a wonderful day. Thanks for asking. And thanks for having me on the show. It's always a pleasure.
Did you do something special or just try to maybe have a nice meal or something like that?
I had dinner with my family, and that was great. And I talked to a few people. It's just another birthday. I'm glad to have it, and it's good. I was grateful for this one, all things considered. And a lot of people didn't have a lot of people lost people that didn't get to have their birthday this year. It was not, you know, I know we're coming out of it. I know we can see the light at the end of the tunnel, but this was a special one.
Arizona Supreme Court, Paul, just an hour or so ago, in a 5-1 decision, basically siding with the city of Tucson, saying, yes, Tucson, you can have your election this year after all. Tucson will keep the odd-numbered years for elections as per the city charter. Any reaction?
Well, that about shuts the door on it. I mean, this discussion of trying to run a city from Phoenix when it kind of shuts the door on that. The bottom line is that there's a home rule provision in the Constitution. I think the five justices who actually understand the law all voted. I'm surprised it wasn't unanimous.
It won't really change much then, because election preparations are already underway. There will be elections in wards 3, 5, and 6. So we move forward now. Paul, I want to talk a little bit about the messaging with the Johnson & Johnson shot being paused. Talk about a very bad time for this pause. We're already trying to get the word out that the anti-vaccination people are all over this on social media, basically saying, look, I told you so. It was unproven technology, and on and on.
And that's the weird thing about Johnson & Johnson. Johnson & Johnson is actually the more conventional technology vaccine. They did do something a little novel, that they hit it into an adenovirus, which is a cold, which is an interesting jump in the science. But actually, I thought that was a pretty good thing. Also, you're talking about 6 women, and I think 6 million administered shots. That's what I read. Don't put me to those numbers, because I don't know if it was actually 1 in a million or not. And so I don't want to give your sure. But I know it was a substantially low percentage. So and I'm not trying to dismiss what happened to those poor women who got blood clots from the vaccine. And if there is a risk of blood clotting from a vaccine like that, it definitely needs to be addressed. But we're in, again, everybody can agree that we're in some pretty unique circumstances with the global pandemic. We're in some pretty unique circumstances with trying to keep people alive, with trying to find a way to get back to normal, with trying to make it for people safe. And we're all in it together. And this is the thing that I don't understand. The people who are criticizing the vaccine, but also demanding that we go back to normal, you're not going to get normal unless you have a vaccine that people are confident in. There will be no normal. Everybody needs each other. You can't have a great football atmosphere without fans, and you're not going to have a bunch of fans just show up because you tell them to. They're going to show up because they feel safe there, and that's a very rudimentary analogy. But you can't enjoy a meal at a restaurant without people feeling safe that they can go there and not looking over their shoulder and not worrying about how close the people at the other table are. It goes to all the things we do in our lives. And to return, it is my wish beyond all wishes to return back to some semblance of normal, and that people can hug again and shake hands again and bump into each other and say, excuse me, and not say, hey, have you been vaccinated? And so the idea that this is the discussion that we're having is, I think it's healthy, it's good, and in all respect to the Johnson & Johnson people, but, you know, you got to do better than that. Big Pharma made a whole bunch of money over the last two decades. They made a whole bunch of money through Operation Warp Speed. They need to be held to get it right. I think they did their best. All respect to the Johnson & Johnson folks. But, again, we can't be in a situation where we're refusing to get vaxxed, or we're not going to do this, or we're not going to do that, when we really all need to be with each other to get through it. And quite frankly, in Pima County, with the numbers that we have, the trends we have, the demographics and the new cases, I'm actually a lot more comfortable than I was even a week ago. And every single day we make progress. And I want to hand it to the Pima County Health Department for all the work they've done. I think Dr. Cullen and Dr. Garcia and then in conjunction with Andy Squire and his team and Chief Ryan at the City of Tucson have done an amazing job. Don't forget about Paradigm Labs, Ethan Saz and his group. All of them have done amazing, and of course Banner and TMC. Gosh, they were just, man, they just stepped up. They were one of the models in the country on how to manage that care. And so when we look at what we did here in Tucson, we were unique. We had high testing. We had high efficacy of prevention. We had a very rapid response when it came to having vaccines and getting them into arms. So we're not there yet, but I think we're like 60 days out, and that's a great place to be as far as I'm concerned.
Now, this 75% of the adult population in Pima County has to be vaccinated before Pima County will drop the mask ordinance. I wonder if we can hit that 75% goal. Before this pause with Johnson & Johnson, I would have said, yeah, I think that's doable. Now I really wonder, Paul Cunningham.
Well, I mean, we gamed it out. We have to give 1.28 million shots by total, and that's assuming everybody's double shots. Then you back out about 280,000 of that, maybe 5%, 140,000 of that. So then we said, all right, it's going to be 2.04 million shots, give or take, for double dose. Then you got to back out everybody who's already got Johnson & Johnson. I think we got 50, 60,000 people in that group. So now you're down to 2 million shots total administered. I think we were 575,000 total vaccinated or partially vaccinated, according to DHS. The state of Arizona Health Services website just is not as comprehensive or as reliable as what Pima County tries to put out. But Pima County only has so many personnel to put their reports out every week or 2 weeks. So, but I know that we're getting there. What I also know, and this is an interesting piece, is that right now we're seeing a slowdown in vaccinations that we're doing every day. So it's not like it was 2 weeks ago. You logged on, we're not taking vaccinations this time, there's no appointments available, whatever it said, 3 weeks out you'd be scheduling. Now we're at a point where if you get on and look in the morning, you're going to be able to book a time in the next 5 days. And that's interesting. It's kind of slagged off a little bit. And so I'd urge people, if you haven't gotten number one, go get number one. If you're and a lot of these guys are under 34. If you're under 34, you've got some mitigated risk factors anyway. Where one shot's going to do you just fine for a while, from what I understand. I mean, everybody should get double vaxxed. I'm not a physician, and I don't want to pretend to be one at all. But giving everybody a little bit of coverage and a little bit of mitigation in the chances of spread. Look, if you're double vaxxed, that means you're a 1 in 10 chance of contracting it and spreading it. And if the other person you're talking to is double vaxxed, now it's 81 times lower than it was.
Right.
81 times lower a chance of transmission between two double vaxxed people. I'll take those odds. even though Han Solo, he says, never tell me the odds. Sometimes you got to play the odds. So that's kind of my rant about the vaccination, and I hope it was informational to your viewers.
All right.
Listeners.
Before we say goodbye with Paul Cunningham, we're going to take a break with Mona's, then come back with Paul, because I do want to hear his reaction about Chief Magnus being nominated to head up the Customs and Border Patrol. And also I want to talk a little bit about water. But Mona's Danish Bakery is open right now for lunch, the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They are home of the Danish Kringle, that delicate, flaky, light and tasting, melt-in-your-mouth, multi-layer pastry that is just absolutely delicious. Go by Mona's right now. They're open for lunch, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Open at 6:30 in the morning for breakfast. The website's monasdanishbakery.com. You can order ahead or just stop in at the bakery. You can dine inside or out with this beautiful weather. Out on the patio is the place to be. Find out what all the excitement is about. And if you're looking for a great job, the Help Wanted sign is out at Mona's. We'll be right back in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios with Paul Cunningham right after this. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com. Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Welcome back. It is Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, 3384 East River Road. In their 51st year, they're open daily. If you need some spring color for the garden, who doesn't? It really cheers you up when I look out in the garden and I see my geraniums doing so well. And just cheers you up, and it's a great way to start the day. Stop by Green Things, 13 acres of amazing plants, trees, annuals, and more. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com, Zocalo Village for that wonderful Talavera pottery, antiques, fine art, and some beautiful handmade furniture. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We go back now on the live line to Ward 2, the offices of Ward 2, Democrat Paul Cunningham. Paul, assuming that TPD Chief Magnus wins congressional approval to become the next head of Customs and the Border Patrol, what is the process? Does the city of Tucson start a search now for a new chief, or what?
Yeah, we'll start that. We start the process of the search now. Absolutely, we start putting out feelers. The manager kind of is the quarterback of all that. We'll probably have a discussion about the transition at the next meeting in exec. How long is the chief staying here? What is his actual date? A lot of the details are still there. I think it's really early in the process to speculate anything. I think that the chief has done an amazing job, both as a police chief, but just as a citizen of Tucson. And this wasn't easy either. And he stepped forward. He fit into Tucson like one of those round pegs. He did everything and more in making good choices. And quite frankly, I think he's cultivated a team where if we hire from within, we'll do all right, or we may identify someone outside who will do all right. And I think we'll come up with that strategy as we go forward. I think that there's more than enough staff officers out there that I've had interactions with over the last years that are capable of doing the job on the interim basis and possibly even being it. It's going to be a hard choice, and that's because the chief did such a good job in really cultivating and developing some of those officers into making them into effective leaders. And so I got to hand him to that. A couple things people don't know about the chief is he was really early. He was early on when he was chief in California and then in the Midwest. He was really early in this community policing and kind of cutting edge things. And the other thing I think people don't know is that he is an amazing teacher in teaching command, teaching leadership, but also teaching about investigations, teaching about procedure with the people that work for him. So the administration's gain is our loss, but he definitely had a positive effect on Tucson as far as I'm concerned.
Well, you know what his detractors say. It's a crime-ridden city. Morale is horrible, and they blame the chief for pretty much everything.
Well, I guess that I'd say that my opinion completely differs from that, and the people who are saying that probably don't understand a lot of things. That's what I would say.
I want to quickly switch to water. I live in the central foothills, and I've learned, like everybody else, that the city of Tucson is considering raising our water rates because we are in the unincorporated area. Should I start budgeting now for an increase, and how much?
First of all, let's talk about how much an increase we're talking about. The city of Tucson averages a 5 to 6 percent increase every year anyway, which we've not done in a long time, and I don't anticipate any increase we do to be more than that. It'll be between 5 and 10%, and that differential, we're not going to go and just stick it to people like they do in Phoenix and Scottsdale and do differential rates of 50%. They do that in Yuma, Flagstaff, Scottsdale, all over the state. But let's talk about a few things about this. First of all, let's talk about asset inventory. The bottom line is that when a water main breaks outside of the city limits and damage by that water main is caused and a claim is filed by that person, the enterprise fund, Tucson Water, does not pick up that cost. That is actually paid out by the tort fund from in-city property taxes. So right there alone, just right there alone, there are city taxes being paid for that part of the enterprise. So just there alone, would necessitate a $2 difference. But that we don't need to get too crazy about that. And if you look at the asset inventory and you look at the long-term costs that are incurred every single time we add infrastructure outside the city limits, there's a nuance that goes into that maintenance. And one of those nuances is that if we have a water main break inside the city and we have to dig up the road, or we have to dig up the road to install new pipes, or for whatever reason, we use in-house a lot of times street workers that are employed by the general fund to collaborate with our Tucson Water workers to make it work. Well, I got news for you, Bill. Unfortunately, when we are outside of the city limits, we can't use our in-house people, and we have to contract. Again, this is a situation where city taxpayers are subsidizing work done outside of the city limits. So I wanted some fairness involved. But when we talk about like just the justifiable pieces of the water fund, we also got to talk about kind of the county equity piece. For instance, we wheel 2,000 acre feet of water to different jurisdictions, but we don't get the reclaim credits from the county. The other thing that the county has done is they have refused to follow Articles 12 and 13 of the state constitution and stay in their own lane as a government for many years, and no fault of their own. There were reasons for that, but in the last 12 years, they've changed the formula in the state share revenues, and it costs us north of $30, $40 million a year in state share revenues. People have constantly come up to me and said, why can't we build nice roads like Scottsdale? You want to know who paid for those roads? State shared revenues that could have been kept in Tucson. We paid for those roads in Scottsdale because we have a 65% incorporated population as opposed to Maricopa County, who has a 96% incorporated population. And as a result, they get a substantially higher number per citizen in state shared revenues. The other piece is that by the county providing all these municipal services, we have a higher property tax rate than most other counties. And this is not really, you know, people ask me, why aren't we doing a better job to develop the economy? Well, one of the reasons is because we have a county that continues to provide municipal services. That's supposed to be done in rural counties. We are not a rural county by any means. We have over 1 million people. And so we really have to have this conversation. I mean, it isn't the easiest thing to do. And I know that a lot of people think it's unfair. But at the end of the day, we think it's unfair. And the straw that really broke the camel's back for me was the PAYGO initiative that the county set up, where half of the property taxes are being paid by city residents, and they're using it only to pave roads in unincorporated Pima, Maricopa County, an unincorporated Pima County, where folks in those areas could pave roads. But this also presents an opportunity to those areas. You look at Vail, you look at Catalina Foothills, you look at Tanque Verde Valley. Who doesn't want to be the Alexander Hamilton of Vail, or the Thomas Jefferson of the Catalina Foothills, or whatever? This is an opportunity to write and form a couple new towns in Tucson that can be tremendous community partners. In years past, the city has stopped incorporations. We will not do that. The other thing that I want to put into this provision are things like well credits. And say you try to annex and you're rejected, then you get your same rates. I mean, we're not going to hold people accountable who wanted to get annexed or incorporated and got rejected. So I think there's a lot of discussion to fester here. But one of the things I'm really happy about is we're actually having the discussion about this county equity problem and the county providing municipal services when under Article 13 and under Article 12 of the state constitution, it's very clear. I mean, we just talked about what the home rule provision is and how the state Supreme Court works, and it's given me some hope that people will understand this. So I think those things are they're just overlooked when we have this discussion from time to time. And for me, they can't be overlooked anymore. We can't afford to overlook these type of issues when it comes to this topic. And that's kind of the probably the most important piece to it.
And what do you think the raise realistically would be?
No more than $3 or $4 a month.
Percentage-wise, so we're talking about it would be under 10%?
Well, it depends. See, a lot of it depends on how much people use. So for our first two tiers, you pay, I want to say it's $1.83 per for the first 8 CCFs, and then $2.56 per from CCF 8 to 12. Don't quote me on that. That represents about 94% of our customers use 12 or under. And so those would go up. In one case, the lower and the first eight would go up. We're talking 8 cents. So you're talking 40 cents for the first eight. And then the next one would go up, would be like 22 cents. So you're talking another 88 cents. So that's $1.68 a month if you're using less than 12 CCFs. That's off the top of my head.
Sure. We'll get some specific figures. Tim Tomyor will be with us on Friday here for our Friday Focus interview. He's head of he's assistant city manager now, but he also is still head of Tucson Water, right? So he's going to
We're just trying to. I'm trying to be a good neighbor and not. I mean, we could. I'm not going to run around and tell everybody that we want to jam them up at 50% or this is lift fees from the 70s with $100 water bills. We're not doing that. But the bottom line is that the city kind of got taken advantage of over the last 12 years. And as a duly elected representative of the city, I got to stand up for my people a little bit and say, hey, look, this really isn't that fair. I wouldn't be doing it if I didn't think it was fair. And what I'm asking isn't to go jam people up and exploit them. I'm saying, hey, let's make it fair as fair because it's not right now.
All right. Paul Cunningham, Tucson City Councilman. Thank you, Paul. Happy birthday week to you. Have a great day.
Stay safe, stay healthy, and bear down, everybody. Thanks, Tucson.
Thanks a lot. All right, Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We'll be right back. Midweek edition.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley and on the web at noblehops.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. The following segment presented by the Reed Park Zoo, founded in 1965 by then City of Tucson Parks Director Gene Reed as an exhibit of exotic birds. The zoo has grown to become one of America's top zoos with over 500 animals from all over the world and welcoming some 500,000 visitors annually. With us on the live line, Dr. Alexis Roth. Dr. Roth is the Reed Park Zoo veterinarian. Dr. Roth, how are you?
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having me. I'm wonderful.
Thinking about all these animals that are under your care, and of course, they all have unique needs and unique biologies, individual medical and nutritional requirements. How in the world, Alexis, do you juggle this?
You know, that's one of the most common questions I get. And, you know, at the end of the day, Bill, medicine's medicine and surgery is surgery. But every one of these animals has, as you stated, a very unique not only nutritional requirement, medical requirement, husbandry, so how they're kept, and, of course, anesthesia if we have to do that. So I spend a lot of time speaking with colleagues across the world that may have very unique specialties dealing with very unique species.
And then the animals have dental needs. I heard recently a grizzly bear had to have a root canal procedure. And being a veteran of a couple of root canals myself, it's no fun. But I'm wondering, how in the world did the animal signal to you and your team that there was a dental issue?
Well, that's just it. I mean, everybody has teeth, and that's what makes my job so unique. You know, what I rely on very heavily, Bill, is my keeper staff, because they are able to train these animals through positive reinforcement to interact with them and ultimately myself, so that I can do things like basic physical exams just up face-to-face. So not obviously with the animal, but, for example, train to open their mouth or train to present their paw, for example, through positive reinforcement. And so during one of those training sessions, we were able to see that this animal had a tooth that looked discolored, and make the diagnosis that, in fact, he needed a root canal.
And then, of course, with a big animal like an elephant, perhaps the folks who are caring for the elephant or a big cat every day might notice a slight limp or some kind of a change in the animal's gait. That could be a big clue, too, couldn't it, Dr. Roth?
Yeah, exactly. So these keepers know everything about these animals. So they may tell me, you know, this animal's just not sleeping in the same position every day, or this animal's choosing to move about its habitat differently, or eating less, the way that they breathe. So very subtle things that they would see on a day-to-day basis, and they're able to communicate that with me, and then I can make appropriate medical decisions based on their observations.
Is there one case that really sticks out in your mind as being kind of a the most memorable, kind of a hallmark case that you have had to deal with, perhaps most challenging?
Yeah, and one of the most endearing, I think, for me and my technician, my keeper staff, was our male lion, Shambay, who had ultimately a genetic condition called polycystic kidney disease. And so he went into kidney failure at a very early age, but we were able to manage him medically with lots of different medications, with sub-Q fluids, just like you would give, say, a domestic house cat, simply through, again, positive reinforcement and training. And we were able to improve his quality of life and also ultimately his quantity of life for several years.
That is a good news story indeed. You know, the pandemic has changed just about everything, not only in the human world, but there's been an impact on certain animals. What have we learned about COVID and animals, Dr. Roth?
Yeah, great question. Well, what we do know is that there are several animal species that are susceptible to COVID. So not only the ones that make sense to us, so the great apes, for example, gorillas, chimpanzees, but also things like our big cats, so our lions, our tigers, and even some that we are, you know, a little bit less expected. So, for example, our giant anteaters. And what that means is that we have to change the way that we work with these animals so that we're not putting them at risk.
Do you mask up when you're around animals? Just curious about that.
Absolutely. So our keeper staff that work with these COVID-susceptible species are required to wear N95 masks, required to use gloves. So there's some specific protocols that we follow to maximize their safety.
One of the very positive things about the zoo's master plan was to create a position for a full-time vet and to open a state-of-the-art clinic to address the healthcare needs of the animals at Reed Park. Obviously, from your point of view, that was a very good decision. And how about the state-of-the-art clinic? Is it as good as pretty much any zoo in the United States?
It's better, Bill. We have an extremely modern facility, and I'm very proud of it, not only because it provides a teaching opportunity for me to both interns and externs, veterinary students across the world, but also to the community, to the students and the education camps that come through, and they're able to watch what I do in the hospital every day.
Are we getting University of Arizona vet students involved?
Absolutely. I have several rotations of students on a regular basis, and that is a really exciting thing for me. Very excited, very refreshed students that are just happy to be working in such a small field.
We're speaking with Dr. Alexis Roth, the veterinarian at the Reed Park Zoo. I'm very curious, actually, about your particular path to being a vet at a major zoo in the United States. Were you, I assume, very interested in animals as a child?
I think veterinary medicine in general, it's one of those professions that you just have a calling for. So I knew that I wanted to do this even as a little girl. I was also a University of Arizona alumni, and then I went to veterinary school and graduated at Colorado State University. It was there that I discovered I really enjoyed not only the challenges, but also the humility that this specific avenue of veterinary medicine has provided.
Is that avenue a specialty that is taught in school? In other words, can a student choose a veterinary science that would be in a zoo environment?
The zoo field is not a dedicated rotation. However, most veterinary schools now have classes for exotics. And then once you graduate, you can then specialize even further into the field of zoo medicine.
How about the mental health of animals? Is that also explored in the veterinary science?
Yeah, that is now as important, if not more, than just the medical and surgical care of these animals. We understand that their mental health and well-being only benefits them even more in terms of their medical and surgical health.
And the nutritional diet, that's very important. Some of these animals, I would suspect, have very specific nutritional needs, correct?
Exactly. I spent a lot of time researching the very unique needs that some of these animals have. For example, the anteater or the Xenarthra class of animals have very specific dietary needs, and even depending on the stage of their life and the stage of the insect that they're eating. And that's something that we are just now starting to understand.
And I do want to put a quick plug in for the flamingo exhibit. That's pretty exciting, Dr. Roth. What about the flamingo? They seem like such an interesting animal. Is their biology, though, pretty similar to any other avians?
They are, and the exhibit is absolutely phenomenal. I'm really pleased with the way it turned out. The birds have adapted very, very quickly. They're very calm, all of them eating and behaving normally. Flamingos in and of themselves, speaking of nutrition, of course, you know, the common question I get is, how do you make them pink? And, of course, that is because of what they eat in the wild. So that's part of what we do.
All right, Dr. Alexis Roth, the veterinarian at the Reed Park Zoo, thank you for the work you're doing. It's a challenge every day, and obviously you sound very dedicated to it with a great staff and a great place to work with a state-of-the-art clinic. Thank you very much, Dr. Roth.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate your time.
Thanks a lot. The Buckmaster Show, midweek edition in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Our live line, like the interview that we just had, Dr. Roth, was on our live line. That's presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Amber Mathewson will be with us coming up next.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. I'm so excited about the return to tourism. Our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, like many communities, Tucson's one of these tourism-dependent areas as well. They do need the tourism in the community to make it a vibrant place. And that's what's so exciting, that Silver City and Grant County is once again open up, and after everybody's had a tough COVID year, but it's only a 3-hour drive east of Tucson. Thank you, Tom Fairbanks, putting up the current temperature, which is delightful, 69 degrees. That's at Silver City. during the midday. And the elevation is what's making the big difference here. And 37, 36, 35, some of the overnight lows.
Well, I thought it might make you a little jealous to note that Monday they're expecting some rain in Silver City.
Ooh, that would be wonderful. But that will help green up the Gila National Forest. But look at those temperatures. So what I was saying, the elevation being anywhere from about a mile high, which is 5,500 feet, to about 7,000 feet, really does make a difference, makes Silver City such a great place to be over as things get really hot here in Tucson. Makes for a great summer. Go to southwestnewmexico.org for more information. We're going to get more information from Amber Mathewson. Amber is the director of the Pima County Library System. We spoke with her about 6 weeks ago about how the library is handling the COVID year. First of all, Amber, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me back again.
Telling
you about the library.
Oh, I always like to hear about the library. A big supporter of the library. Tell me about how this reentry is moving along. What is the update on the library system in Pima County?
Sure. So on April 5th, we started welcoming people back inside the buildings. We do require people to wear masks and have their temperatures taken, and occupancy is limited to about 25% in our buildings, and people can only stay for an hour, but they do have access to computers, can browse the shelves and check out their own books and all of those kinds of things. We don't have a lot of seating out because we are trying to encourage people to continue to keep visits short at this time, but we're so excited that people are able to come back inside the library.
Can kids come back?
Children under 15 must be accompanied by an adult, and we will be revisiting those guidelines prior to the ending of school. Because we do have children that come alone sometimes. So.
Okay, so the visits will be limited, and is there some outdoor areas that can be utilized, or how does that work?
Sure. Some of our libraries do have outdoor seating, and our Wi-Fi at our libraries is always on, and so people do enjoy sitting outside with their laptops or devices using outdoor seating as well.
How about your other locations? Are you changing any of the hours for the Pima County libraries?
We are. Thank you for asking that. We have 16 of our libraries that are Monday through Friday, and six that are Tuesday through Saturday, and those normal hours are 10 to 5, but then we also have six locations that are open until 6 on Wednesdays.
We missed acknowledging the first week of April being National Libraries Week, but we can still celebrate it a little bit late.
It'd be a whole month, right?
We have a great library system in Pima County. How has the COVID affected other than the closures? And what about staff? How have they handled all of this, Amber?
Sure. This has been a real challenge for staff because they are always so welcoming to our patrons coming in. So not having people coming into the building was difficult, but our staff really stepped up providing curbside service, which people can still take advantage of if they don't want to come into the building. We also provided a lot of distribution of food. We worked with the community food bank and school districts to make sure that folks had access to food, and we'll continue some of that as well. Staff have really stepped up. We did have about 260 of our staff furloughed at one point, but most of those staff have been able to come back to work, and there were a few that couldn't because of medical issues, but for the most part, everyone's back to work, and we're very thankful for that. And we just expect to continue expanding services as we move forward through the ending, hopefully, of this pandemic.
How about grab-and-go food? Is that available at some of your locations? How does that work?
It is. So, those were some of the foods that we were able to get through the community food bank and from school districts. And so any of our grab-and-go locations, they just have tables set up right at the door, and folks can come and pick up the food there.
Well, one of my friends, Margaret Regan, who is, as you know, the arts writer at the Tucson Weekly, was kind of your writer in residence. Poor Margaret, this whole thing, the COVID thing, happened just as she was really being named to be the Pima County Library's writer in residence. So folks were not able to visit with her one-on-one, but I think they did some virtual stuff. Is that going to resume, do you hope?
Yeah, that is resuming, and Greg McNamee is actually our writer in residence currently, so people can still work with him online, and they can get that information at our website, library.pima.gov.
How have libraries across the country, I know you talk with your colleagues, how have they approached still maintaining services wherever possible in very difficult circumstances?
Very similarly to what we've done, most libraries did some form of curbside service throughout the pandemic. There were a few libraries that remained open, but with, again, very limited numbers of people allowed in their buildings. And all of the libraries have continued to have mask wearing and frequent cleaning of high-touch surfaces, that's been sort of the standard. But what really has blossomed for individuals is the use of our online resources, of which we've had a lot for a very long time, but a lot of people weren't taking advantage of them. And so we stepped up not only all of our digital downloads and all of that, but we created a whole page called Learn at Home, where parents could get information to help their students as they were navigating school at home. And so we've seen a tremendous increase in all of our electronic resource use.
There was a program, I recall, dealing with health at the libraries. Was that put on hold, Amber?
Yes, unfortunately, all of our in-person programming has been on hold, and we've been focusing mainly on our Ready Set School, which is Kindergarten Readiness Program, Career Online High School, and then Individualized Online Job Help, GED and ESL has been ongoing as well, but online and in a very different format than we were used to doing in person.
Would you like to see that reinstated? That there was a healthcare worker that had regular hours, I believe, at some of the libraries.
Absolutely. Yeah, we were working very closely with the health department to have our library nurses available, but the health department has been so busy with vaccinations and all of that, so it will probably be some time before we're able to do that again. However, we do want to work with some of the social services agencies in the community that have social workers, and I think that will help to fill the void until we're able to get nurses back into the libraries again.
Okay, Amber Mathewson, always good to catch up with you, the director of the Pima County Library System. Stay safe and keep up the good work, Amber. Thank you very much.
Bill Buckmaster, thank you so much.
All right.
A good afternoon.
You too.
Bye-bye.
That's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. We have about a minute before CBS Network News, enough time to tell you not only do we have great news coming up, but the very popular show, Dave Ramsey, with his Ramsey Solutions, which is a very, very popular national talk show, and we're very happy that we can provide it for our KVOI listeners here in Tucson. All right, on behalf of Tom Fairbanks, always doing a great job on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing. Thanks to Tom. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Hope everybody has a great afternoon.